Now, 6:45, I call to order the regular meeting of the Harper Heights Planning and Zoning Commission for January 30th, 2019. We will start with invocation and pledge allegiance. Commissioner Charlton is going to be doing the invocation, and Commissioner Webster will be doing the pledge. If you all please join us, if you'd like.
Will you join me in prayer? Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we assemble tonight as your humble servants to serve the citizens of Harper Heights as well as the City Council. Our intent is to be fair, to know the standards, and to listen carefully. We would also ask that you bless all of those who have joined us tonight. They're interested in the city, and we applaud that. We would also ask you bless those men and women who serve our country in uniform. Keep them from harm, give them hope, and care for their families while they are gone. We ask that you would take care of those who are proud of the fact that this is their city and they're part of it. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Please join me in the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Thank you, commissioners. We stand as a best prayer. Say that. Okay. P&Z consists of volunteers appointed by the City Council. We coordinate with city staff, owners, developers, agents, and residents to provide the council with independent, objective, and coordinated evaluations and recommendations of planning and zoning issues in the context of state statutes, local ordinances, and the city's land use and comprehensive plans. Except for preliminary plats, all votes are recommendations and are forwarded to the council for Secretary, please note all commissioners are present. We have a quorum plus. Everyone is here. If everybody could please silence your cell phones or pagers or whatever you have to make noise, I appreciate that. And the first order of business is going to be the approval of minutes of the regular meeting held on December the 5th, 2018. Do I have a motion? Okay. Commissioner Webster?
Make a motion that we approve the minutes as written.
Very good, sir. Do I have a second?
Second motion.
All right. Commissioner Anderson seconds. All right, any discussion? All in favor, please signify to raise your hands. Okay, we have everybody at the new meeting, right? All right, very good. So, any against it? Is there anyone opposed to it? No. So I'm going to have two abstainings, I guess. Next is recognition of affidavits for conflict of interest. Mr. Nicholas?
We have none.
Very good. Report of development activity, sir.
Okay, I got a slide out of order. Sorry, so no conflict of interest. The development activity for the month of December, so we're doing a year-end summary, and then I'll do the month of January.
Okay.
We issued zero commercial permits for the month of December. So for the year 2018, we had a total of 9 commercial permits, totaling $6.8 million. In residential development for the month of December, we had 11 permits, 6 in the Ridge, 1 in Evergreen Estates, and 4 in Cedarbrook Ridge. These are for single-family residences. We had 0 permits for two-family residences for December. So for the year 2018, we had a total of 174 residential permits, 160 single-family permits, 14 two-family permits, and 0 multifamily. So based on that, based on factors such as our active water residential accounts, we estimate the population at the end of 2018 at
30,785. Is that unbelievable?
Yes.
All right, continue, sir.
Okay, so for the month of January, as of today, we've received 2 commercial construction permits, 1 for the middle school 14 on Warriors Path at an estimated value of $42 million. So that's going to seriously skew our values. Next is the C&L development at Stillhouse Lake Road. That's that development immediately south of the Catholic Church along Stillhouse Lake Road. They're building two shell commercial buildings for a total value of $900,000. So that brings our commercial permits for the month of January to two, valued at $44 million. Residentially, 11 permits were issued, single-family permits were issued for the month of January. Seven in Cedarbrook Ridge, which is that brand-new subdivision immediately adjacent to that C&L commercial development. Three residences in Evergreen Estates, and I believe that that was the final three lots in Evergreen Estates, so that neighborhood is completely done. One residence in the Ridge. We didn't receive any two-family residential construction applications or permits, and no multifamily. So to date, we've issued 11 residential permits. I don't have the numbers for an adjusted population. I don't think our population grew based on 11 single-family residences that just started construction. So we're still leaving it at 30,785 residents.
The Evergreen, that's up as it goes further up the hill?
Yes, that's our Jubilation Drive.
Not because they are going to be going over the hill.
Eventually, they're going to start doing the backside of the hill.
Yeah, but full otherwise.
Yes.
That is too cool.
And then I think we skipped agenda item three, which was the results of the January, of the December 5th meeting.
Oh, let me see here. City Council is next, yeah.
Okay, so on the December 5th meeting, I'm sorry, you had a P&Z meeting on December 5th. It was that adjusted schedule that we just talked about. And you saw two cases that went to the December 11th City Council meeting. The first one was a conditional use permit to allow an existing storage facility to build another metal building on Amy Lane. You recommended approval 6-0, and the council approved it 4-0.
With the wall?
Yes, with the screening fence along the park. The second one is for the Amy's Attic storage facility on Hudson Boulevard and Prospector. You recommended approval 6-1, and that's the one with the masonry wall that was
okay.
Recommended. Okay, the other one did also have a screening wall. So you recommended approval 6-1, and the city council approved it 4-0.
With the wall.
All right. Yes, with the wall. So they're both moving forward.
We get the wall. Okay, sir, go ahead. Is that it? All right, so the next one we see here. Okay, we're going to go to public hearings now. This will be 19-01. Conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance granting. I'm sorry, do we have to swear them in?
No.
We're good?
Yes.
All right. Recommending an ordinance granting a conditional use permit, CUP, to allow an accessory dwelling unit on property described as part of Lot 8 and all of Lot 9 and Lot 10, Block 4. Hidden Valley Estates, an addition in Bell County, Texas, recorded in Cabinet A, Slide 212-A, Plat Records of Bell County, Texas, generally located at 2223 Fuller Lane, Parker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Bolts.
Thank you. The applicant is requesting a conditional use permit to allow her to occupy a camper while she remodels the interior of the home at 2223 Fuller Lane. The applicant tells me that she intends to take about 6 months to do this work, but we recommend that she go ahead and ask for a year as far as a temporary conditional use permit to cover any kind of contingencies and to prevent her from having to come back before this body and ask for an extension. Basically, the applicant, as I indicated, is intending to remodel this house and move her extended family in with her and wishes to stay in what looks like a tiny home, but is technically a camper and is registered as a camper while she does the remodeling. It's important to note the designation that it is a camper, which means it's not a self-contained recreational vehicle. In other words, it does not have a bathroom. So she can't technically live in it because it does not have a bathroom and does not meet the code requirements for a dwelling unit. So she will be staying in there and presumably using the bathroom in the house as she's remodeling it. But apparently from her testimony and the testimony of some of her neighbors that I spoke to, the interior of that house is pretty dilapidated and needs a lot of work. And so that's why she's asking to be able to stay in that unit. Yes, sir?
When you say it doesn't have a bathroom, do you mean that it's just not hooked up to septic?
No, it means there's not a toilet facility in that. Correct. Because that was our chief discussion point was the fact that that's a septic lot, and so that would need to, the calculations for whether or not that would affect the septic system would be involved with that. And when we met with her, it was clarified that it did not have a restroom. So that being said, the applicant is asking for a conditional use permit with a condition that she be allowed to dwell in that camper for 12 months at 2223 Fuller Lane so that she can remodel the interior of her home. And after that point, she will build a concrete pad for that to reside on her property. She also owns the two lots immediately adjacent to her. So if spacing becomes an issue, she can obviously locate that camper somewhere else. But we did ask that she put it on a concrete or permanent foundation to avoid damage to the property. This is a picture of it. Again, you can see that it does have wheels and a tow hitch. It is technically registered as a camper, as a recreational vehicle, but in our code, we make a distinction between recreation vehicle and camper, which is why I keep calling it a camper. This is her provided images from her application showing the unit, showing its rough location. It's actually a little bit more to the side than behind the house, as seen in this sketch here. It's really over here. But essentially, it's behind the front facade of her house and meets the requirements of her accessory structure in that regard. In terms of zoning, the existing use around her property is single-family residential and vacant lots, and her proposed use would still maintain the single-family aspect of it since she'd be dwelling in that unit temporarily and would therefore meet the harmony of the neighborhood as far as that's concerned. Zoning-wise, she's not asking to change the zoning, so she maintains the single-family residential zoning that's shown for that area, and then it's also shown in the future land use map based on the 2007 comprehensive plan. So her request is not necessarily in the face of those of the future land use map. Staff sent out 23 letters of notification to properties within the 400-foot boundary. You'll also see on the dais that we have received a reply after we put the packet together. But essentially, we received three recommending approval of this conditional use permit, and we received none recommending denial. The applicant is not able to be here tonight because she has other plans. I mentioned that before. So she asked that I represent her in this case. As I indicated before, the applicant has the burden of proof. I've had several discussions with her and would be happy to answer any questions. But if you feel that you don't have enough information to make a decision, then obviously you have the right to table this until next month when she can be here to answer those questions. So that being said, staff does not have a recommendation of approval or denial for this. This is something we've never seen before. And so we want, obviously, your guidance on that. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Now you're saying that concrete, there will be a concrete foundation at a later date?
Yes.
Okay. After the 12 months of working on the actual stick-built house?
Correct.
Okay. And there's no bathroom inside that little tiny house?
That's correct.
Is there a kitchen in there? Is there a stove? Microwave?
I don't know, actually. I mean, that's stuff that she can move in later because she does have an electrical hookup. She has an RV electrical hookup to her house through an RV electrical cable. So, yes, she could probably put small appliances in there.
I would feel more comfortable talking to her or having her in front of us going over this because what I see there right now, if you can go back to that picture, I don't want to see these all over Harker Heights. I don't want to see these in his backyard, her backyard, or whatever else. I mean, I don't find it appealing.
It's been there a while as well.
Just one other thing. After the 12 months, it's going to be moved to storage.
That was in her first letter, so she found out that, as you found out this evening, RVs and campers are exempt from heavy vehicle parking requirements, so she can keep it on the property. That, as part of negotiation, I mean, that's something else that if that's a concern of yours, you might amend the conditions to add that.
Well, I mean, the reason why I bring it up is because then in her letter she states that her mom is going to live in it.
That raised a lot of red flags with us, and that's why we met with her and explained to her why that would not work. And so she revised her letter of intent, but I wanted to keep the original letter in there as part of the record. So there is an original letter where she stated that she was going to renovate it and then move out, and then her mom was going to live in there. And I think she wrote that letter before she ordered the RV and didn't realize it didn't have a bathroom. And so, and we explained to her that when you start adding, so she was originally requesting a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit permanently on the site. And then we explained to her that those have to have permanent foundations, they have to meet the code of ordinances as far as plumbing and so forth, and that particular lot is less than half an acre and already has a septic system on it. She wouldn't be able to put an additional burden on that existing septic system. And when we explained all that to her, she modified her intent, and again, I don't think she knew that it didn't have a bathroom, so she said, no, my mother's going to live in the house. So it's going to be her, her mother, and her grandmother living in that house together. And so the RV or the camper is just going to be a camper that they can take out when they want to go do something else.
So did we call you Ms. Ortiz while we're talking to you?
You can call me Mr. Molise.
I don't have any other questions on it, but I think this is something that the person, there's just too many questions that need to be answered, I think, and hear her side of this, but right now, I don't like what I see, I'll tell you that.
Can we make a motion to table it until she's here?
We can, yes, sir.
I would recommend that you have a public hearing first, as this is a public hearing, then when motions are asked for a call.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
How do we regulate that someone doesn't live in that space?
That's a good question. We have issues around the city right now where we suspect people are living in actual RVs that do have bathrooms, and basically we require or we need citizen involvement in that. We have citizens that tell us there's somebody living there, and we'll go out and talk to them. And when we find out that they are living in there, it's an education process where we explain to them that we don't allow accessory dwelling units in an R1 zoning district without a conditional use permit. And so that's how we regulate that. But do we drive around the city and open RVs and check and see if people are living in there? No.
But if we had more code enforcement people, we probably could. No. Just kidding. Okay. Go ahead, sir.
You know, we're talking about tabling it, but let's just say we didn't table it. We said that we do not want this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Does she still get the opportunity to come back?
By the code of ordinances, we treat conditional use permits as we would a zoning case. So if she brings this back to you in the exact same format, she has to wait 180 days before she can bring it back.
Well, right now, going by that property, even that trailer doesn't look like it's been taken care of. With the grass builds up underneath it and everything, all the way to the framing, and I don't know. It's kind of iffy.
Oh, yes. Okay, so the plowing going on back there is the Army Corps of Engineers making a fire break along the Corps property. So they've got a big giant bulldozer doing a 25-foot fire break along the City of Harker Heights city limits line. Yes, she backs up to Corps property.
Okay. Is there any other questions of Mr. Bolus? Nope. All right. At this time, I'm going to open up the public hearing. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Okay. I'll close the public hearing now. And we could have a rebuttal amendment. I don't think we need that there. Commissioners, do y'all have anything you want to say on this? Any questions of Joseph there? No? Okay, this time I'm going to ask for a motion.
I'd like to make a motion to table it.
Second. Mark? A little handy dandy doing here. Okay, Commissioner McCann, motions. And Commissioner Parker, seconds.
As a point of clarification, I would prefer that you give a specific date for the motion. So in other words, table it to the next regular meeting.
Well, I would rather do that than her waiting 180 days.
Right.
Because then she's going to sit out there for 180 more days.
So would you mind amending your motion to say table it till the next?
Next meeting.
Okay.
Next month.
Very good. Very good. And you go with the second round? Very good. Okay, any discussion, commissioners? Yes, sir.
No, I have a hand here.
I'm sorry, yes, sir.
Oh, I was just going to ask, does she have a contract already on the start date for this renovation?
Well, she owns the property now, so she's can start immediately or can delay.
So she hasn't begun any work in there?
Not to my knowledge.
Yes.
So if we were to table this, she cannot move into that?
Correct.
Start her instruction.
Okay. All right, any other discussion?
Chairman, what do we gain by tabling?
Give her a chance to come before us. The other option is we go ahead and simply deny it or approve it.
Right. So that's why I'm saying by postponing it, I'm not sure what we're gaining.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
Versus approving it. And that's
yes,
what
sir.
I'm leading up to. Because I don't see many changes, even with the back and forth. I think Mr. Moldes is pretty well covered because he said he's spoken with the people a number of times
right.
and addressed a number of the questions. So that's what I'm just proposing is.
Okay. We still have to go ahead and do the vote on this, or can we go ahead if we have to vote on the table, right?
Yeah, there is a motion and a second.
Right. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion? Commissioner Robinson brought up some good things here as far as voting this thing through or denying it down, possibly. Any other discussion? Nope. Okay, let's go ahead and vote then. All in favor, please signify by raising your hands. Okay, so I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right. So we have 6 there, and all against. 3. Okay, so it is 6-3 on tabling, and that passes.
So we will notify the applicant that it has been tabled, and that she will need to attend the February 27th.
Okay. The next thing here is going to be Z19-02, conduct a public hearing to discuss, consider recommending an ordinance to change zone designation from R1M, one family manufactured home dwelling district, to R2, two family dwelling district, for property described as Lot 6A, Block 9, replat Lots 5 through 8. Block 9, Wildwood Acres, in addition to the city of Harbor Heights, Belton, Texas. According to plat of record in Cabinet B, slide 83A, plat records of Belton, Texas, and a 10-foot strip adjacent on north, generally located at 913 Ashwood Drive, Harbor Heights, Belton, Texas. Mr. Mullis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. The property in question is 913 Ashwood Drive. This aerial photograph is clearly out of date. That structure has been removed from the property. As you can see in the photographs taken a couple of weeks ago, the applicant is asking to rezone this property from R1M, which allows manufactured home dwellings on this, to an R2 to build a duplex. Going back to this site, this lot is actually large enough to place two duplexes per our existing code of ordinances for the Wildwood subdivision. And it's my belief that that's the intent of the applicant is to, contingent upon successful rezoning, to do a minor plat and split this property back into two lots that it originally was and put two duplexes onto this property. The existing land use now, it's now a vacant lot, but it was a single wide manufactured home surrounded by other single wide manufactured homes, double wide manufactured homes, duplexes, single family residences, and vacant lots. So this is truly a mixed residential use in its existence right now. The zoning for this property is R1M, which is, again allows for a single family manufactured dwelling unit, and it is surrounded by manufactured dwelling units to the south, east, and west, but to the north, there are some R2 dwelling units and some R1. So again, this neighborhood is a mixed-use development, and as shown in the future land use map, the future land use map in the comprehensive plan from 2007 calls for medium density residential for this neighborhood. Medium density residential is typically defined as smaller multifamily homes like R3, triplexes and duplexes and so forth. So the request of the applicant is in line with the future land use map and the comprehensive plan goal of eliminating manufactured homes and replacing them with stick-built homes. So it is in concert with the future land use map. We notified the 42 properties within the 400-foot buffer area, and we received two recommendations of approval, but we also received an additional recommendation of approval from Mr. Boos, who owns properties in that area. So we received no recommendations for denial, and it's not shown on there, but there is a tiny sliver of the property that is within the 100-year floodplain, but it's actually within the, and I apologize, I don't have a map, but it is within the 25-foot front setback, so there will be no construction in the floodplain. So staff feels that is not a significant issue as far as developing that property is concerned. Staff does recommend approval of this rezoning application because the proposed use is compatible with the existing uses within the area, and that a rezone would not likely have a negative impact on the adjacent properties. A representative of the applicant is here to answer any questions you might have, and I would certainly answer any as I can. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, is there any questions for Joseph?
Yes, sir. Just kind of an admin question. I went by, of course, and they're already clearing prepping for two paths, and I gather that's okay because you can plant gardens there or something. I'm not being cute, but there's no requirement to not do prep work before what we're doing here tonight.
That is correct. They can do some limited dirt work, but they cannot pull a permit for more than one single-family manufactured home at this point. It's my belief that they are trying to level the property to fill some of it. But yes, they've not pulled a permit, and they would not be able to pull a permit for a duplex until the property's been replatted.
Is there enough room on that frontage to meet the minimum requirements for two duplexes?
Yes, and we've seen that in the units behind them. The requirements for land usage in the Wildwood subdivision is called out as 7,800 square feet, whereas duplexes anywhere else in the city are 8,400 square feet. So those, and that's because those lots, as originally designed, when you include the 10-foot strip behind them, which were alleys of the city abandoned to the properties, is 7,800 square feet exactly.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions?
Nope.
Okay, who is here representing this request? Can you please come forward? You set your name and address, go wherever the podium right there, please.
Good evening, Commissioners. Ace Renault with Mitchell & Associates at 102 North College Street. I can confirm that the intention of the owner of this piece of property is to replat into two lots to build duplexes on, pending the rezone of the property. And if there's any other questions, I'd be happy to attempt to answer them. Okay.
Commissioners? All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please have a seat. Okay, at this time, I'm going to open up the public hearing. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? All right. Put that out there. At this time, Commissioners, it's back to y'all. This is a very similar thing here in the neighborhood that we've done multiple times. They meet the criteria as far as the square footage there. We're getting rid of a mobile home and getting two duplexes. So, very good. Commissioner Parker makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Commissioner Carey. Okay, any discussion, Commissioners? All right. All in favor, please signify by raising your hands. All right, and that is unanimous there. Thank you all very much. All right. 19-04, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change zoning designation from R1 one family dwelling district to R1R rural one family dwelling district to allow a large accessory structure on a property described as approximately 72.452 acres of land out of the JM Cross Survey, abstract number 179, being out of that 74.37 acre tract of land conveyed to John Allen Hamilton as recorded in volume 2291, page 568, deed records of Bell County, Texas, generally located 12411 East FM 2410, East Knights Way, Parker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Mullis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. As you can see, the applicant has a significant piece of property along FM 2410 or East Knights Way, and has requested the ability to rezone the property from R1 to R1R. R1R is a newer zoning classification that was created with the intent of allowing people with large pieces of property to develop that in a more agricultural basis, and what basically separates R1R from regular R1 is that they are allowed larger accessory structures to accommodate the use of that property. And so we've seen that in this part of town where people have wanted to build larger accessory structures for wood shops or for barns. And so those can be done in an R1R as long as it's not for commercial use. So the applicant is here today to request the R1R rezoning for the purposes of building a workshop for personal use in the back of his property. You can see when I zoom in on the map that the applicant has a home pretty deep into the property and wants to put a larger accessory structure there. So this is a photo taken from the street, and as you can see, you can barely see the residence from the edge of the road. As you get deeper in the property, there is the residence, and again, the proposed accessory structure would go behind the residence. This was provided by the applicant, and upside down, so it would be oriented with the map, north being up, but basically a larger accessory structure behind the house. The existing uses in the area are, of course, large vacant tracts surrounded by single-family residences. The applicant's proposed rezoning wouldn't have an impact on the use of the property. It would still be single-family. And so, zoning-wise, we see that it's surrounded by single-family residences. There is a B4, which is the machine shop, the auto shop in the front of the property, that's a separate lot in the area. But again, the proposed use of a storage shed would not likely have a significant impact on the neighboring properties, given the size of the lot and the proximity to its neighboring lots. The future land use map calls for that strip zoning that we talked about before of commercial along the road and medium density along as a buffer between that. This unit is already zoned single family. They're just switching from one flavor of single family to another. So it's still, the majority of that property is supposed to be single family. So it's still in correlation with the comprehensive plan of 2007. Staff sent out 22 notifications to the properties within the 400-foot buffer area. We received one recommending approval, and then we received an additional recommendation of approval that's also in the dais that simply says, I recommend approval. And as you can see, we did receive, it says three recommendations of denial. It's one property owner that owns three pieces of property, but he did indicate those property IDs on his letter recommending denial of this rezoning. Regardless, staff does recommend approval of this rezoning of this property from R1 to R1R because staff feels that the rezoning request is significant with the future land use map, that the proposed use would not likely have any adverse impacts on adjoining uses. Again, even the property owner, who of course has the right to recommend denial, but we feel that the construction by the applicant is very far away from the other property owner, and so his use of the property would have minimal impact on neighboring properties, given the size of that. And finally, this property is in an area that was intended for the R1R. When the R1R was created as a zoning district, it was for this side of town, and so the applicant is exercising the right for which this zoning requirement or this zoning district was created. That concludes my presentation. The representative of the applicant is here to be able to answer any questions you might have, and I would certainly answer any as well. Thank you.
Commissioners, any questions of Mr. Mullis?
On this picture right here, the shed, in reference to the three red properties, where at in the...
It's up here.
Okay. No, it would be on the other end, wouldn't
it? Yeah.
No, it's on this property.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so yeah, the shed, can you put the arrow on the shed?
How close to the real property?
So where's
Okay. I'm sorry, it's parallel with it. It's, so the shed is here, the three properties are the ones that say the number one.
Okay.
One, one, and one. Those are the three properties. So the shed will be right here.
All right.
It's going away here.
Yes.
Okay.
And based on that map, about at least 500,000 feet.
Do we know why the person is requesting that we deny? I mean, other than just...
Hopefully they're here and hopefully we'll ask. Yeah. Commissioners, any other questions, Mr. Mullis? Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Mullis. Okay, who's here representing this request? Sir, please come forward, state your name and your address.
The address is FM 12411. Or it's FM 2410, I'm sorry, the address is 12411. My name is Hardy Henderson, and I'm here representing my sister, Diana Hamilton. She is the owner of the property, and basically everything what he has said is exactly what we have, you know, asked for. And, it is our understanding that the R1R was made just for this, and that's we wanted to do this building 2 years ago, and that wasn't feasible to do at that time. It was just R1, and they wouldn't let us do a building like this. So we've kind of waited, and it's been our hopes and dreams to get to build this building. We need this building for our land. And so that's our request, and I'll answer any questions if anybody has any.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I have some land. It's in a different district, and I just built a barn, so I know what you're talking about with the need to do that. Mr. Mullis was saying it's a shed, but can you give us an approximate how big this is going to be?
Well, it's going to be a 50 by 75. It's going to be actually 50 by 50 is going to be for the shop use, and then a 25-foot area will be for parking my tractor and some of the vehicles I have.
Okay. Does this include... a bathroom with septic?
No bathroom. The only thing there will be is electrical. That's all we're asking for permits for. My house is so close that the water and restroom is all I need for that. It's just me. It's for my use out there. I live on the property with my sister, so.
So it won't be a commercial use? I know y'all have the building out front there. On the
No, this has nothing to do with that. This is for my personal use. And, you know, for the land and stuff for us there.
Okay, very good. Commissioners, any other questions? Sir, thank you very much. Please have a seat.
Okay, thanks.
And now open up the public hearing. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Is there any? Yes, sir. Please come up here and state your name and your address, please.
My name is Michael Duty. And I own the property of 11505 Quantum Valley. And on your map, that's the area of the lower left-hand corner there. And I've got part of the 400-foot buffer at the southern end of that. I had a question about the shed. Again, it's a pretty good-sized shed. Again, my understanding is for agricultural use. What are we going to be storing in this shed? Is it something that we, forgive me, I had heard that it might involve an auto shop for race cars. If that's the case, would that not present a noise problem for the neighbors?
Okay. So your concern is basically if they're putting a mechanic shop in there or maybe a racing type shop.
Yeah, is it going to be used for agricultural, like tractors and stuff like that? That's one thing, but race cars, when you're working on them, if you're testing engines and stuff like that, that's going to be a noisier proposition.
Okay.
And that was my concern there. And again, I was sitting there, I didn't know what the difference between an R1 and an R1R was.
Yes, sir.
So I think that's been explained. But those are my two questions.
Okay. Well, we will find out here in a moment on that, or we'll confirm that in a moment here of the uses there. But your only concern there, you wouldn't have a problem with it if he's got a tractor in there or an RV in there.
No,
but if he's out there.
If it's farm equipment and stuff like that, no. But again, we basically have a large parcel of land, you know, south of him there.
Yes, sir.
So I understand the farm equipment and everything.
Do you live on the property?
I do not live on the property. The property had belonged to my parents. They're both deceased. And the property now belongs to myself and my siblings. We are in the process of trying to sell that property. But again, if there's a noise issue, if the property sells, then that could impact what we're doing also.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Commissioners, any other questions for this man? No? Okay, sir, if you please have a seat.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Is there anyone else who would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing now. And, sir, if I can have you come back up again. Where did you go? You come up there. If you can address the issue as far as are you going to have race cars in there? Are you going to have...
We do have a race car. That race car has been on the property for the last 8 years. I have never received a complaint from the police or city or any kind of problems with that ever. This race car is sanctioned by International Motor Contest Association. There is a noise level that is for the public that is regulated by them. We do have mufflers on these cars, and they're no different than a street car as far as the noise.
How many cars are there?
I have a race car that I race.
So there's one race car?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
And that it is also for my agriculture use out there, that my equipment for my tractors and stuff. We do maintain that property very, very nicely.
Your interest is a pretty nice question. Mm-hmm.
So the question is, it would only be used for your own personal vehicles?
Yes, sir. That is for me only. I don't have other people working in the shop. I don't pay anybody to work there or do any work for other cars. It's for my personal use.
And your race car is on the property now, or is it up there at the front?
At time, it's on and off the property, but on the weekends, it's always there, you know, when I'm going racing and working on it and stuff. And, I mean, we do run it, you know, to load it and unload it, and there's never been an issue the 8 years I've been there.
You have, like, one of the big enclosed trailers you put it
in? Yes, sir. That's part of the storage I'm going to have in there also.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, any other questions for the applicant? All right, sir. Thank you very much. All right.
Yes, sir.
Public portions are closed here, but did that, what he said there, it's been on there, does it suit you there, sir? Is that okay? All right, thank you very much. Okay, Commissioner, is now back to us. I need a motion at this time. Do I have it?
Move that we approve as presented.
All right, Mr. Parker. Do I have a second? All right, Commissioner Robinson. All right, any discussion? Okay, all in favor, please signify by raising your hands. And that is unanimous there. All right. Next item is to be Z19-05. We've got a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance granting an official use permit, CUP, to allow a private school on property described as Lot 1, Jalen Edition, in addition to the City of Harper Heights, Bell County, Texas. According to the plat of record, Cabin D, slide 101-A, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and an adjacent 0.551 acre tract of land in Bell County, Texas, being part of the R.W. Tom survey, abstract number 838, both tracts being generally located at 111 Mountain Lion Road, Harper Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Moles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. The applicant is here today to request a conditional use permit for the purpose of opening a branch of the Acton Academy on an existing residential structure on 111 Mountain Lion Road. The applicant intends, if approved, to open doors the fall of 2019 to children ages 4 to 10, and the school will accommodate approximately 25 students from elementary to middle school level. This is an aerial photo of the piece of property used in question. Under the R1 zoning district, There is a subset called conditional use permits, or conditional uses, and this is where the R1 zoning outlines what types of conditional uses are allowed in a typical R1 zoning district. And so per section 155.020B, which is conditional uses, number one, the first thing under conditional uses is a private school with a curriculum equal to a public elementary high or high school or others can be requested as a CUP under the R1 zoning district. So further, under a CUP, specific design considerations can be applied to the redevelopment proposal. These extra measures are there, of course, to try to ensure that we can mitigate any negative impacts of the proposed use on that property. And we have worked with the property owner, or with the applicant rather, to develop a set of conditions for that property that I will delineate shortly. Again, this is an aerial photo of the property. It's immediately adjacent to the parking lot owned by the YMCA, and it's across the street from the Armed Services YMCA building and Purser Family Park. This is a photo showing the front of the house. It does have an arched driveway, a half-circle driveway. So this is the eastern half of the driveway. There is the western half of the driveway. So you can see the house is located fairly deep within the property. The applicant is asking to convert the dwelling on 913 into a school. So she's shown the existing survey with the dwelling there and kind of showing the outlines of the property there in an aerial map, showing that parking will be on the side and rear for the staff and that the school will be in the house. The existing land use is single family residence. It's surrounded by single family residences, but there's also a park and of course the Armed Services YMCA in adjacent to this property. The zoning of this property and the surrounding properties is R1. But it does have a planned development for business immediately adjacent and across the street. And again, those are all for the Armed Services YMCA. And future land use does call for single family residential. These are the proposed conditions for the use of this property. First is that the property can only operate as a single family residential or a private school with a conditional use permit. So in other words, should the applicant be granted the CUP and open the private school, if they were to leave, only another private school could occupy that, or they could convert it back to single family residence. The property must maintain the overall external character and appearance of a single family home. This is designed so that it doesn't conflict with the aesthetics of the area. It needs to kind of look like a single family home. Site plan approval is required prior to the issuance of any development permits. That's actually in our code anyway, but we just wanted to emphasize that the planning staff will look at the site plan and take that into consideration with the CUP before any permits are issued. As far as signage is concerned, it has to be out of the public right-of-way, which is a standard for the city. They would be allowed one freestanding sign approved in the master signage plan. That sign shall not exceed 30 square feet and may not be more than 6 feet in height. A monopole sign is prohibited. All signage shall comply with the visibility site triangle. We saw that earlier. They're not at an intersection, so that's not necessarily an impact, except that they do have driveways. And so those signs can't intervene with people ingressing and egressing the properties as well. So that's why that's in there. Temporary signage shall be allowed in accordance with the Code of Ordinances 151.016, which was that new sign code amendment that we added that would allow for temporary signs over a limited time period along collector streets. Mountain Line is a collector street, so we felt that that would be appropriate. That way she can have enrolling now and, you know, semester's over and that kind of thing on there. It gives her the freedom to do that. We would require a 6 or 8 foot perimeter fence for adequate screening, which is per section 155.050. All employee parking must be located behind the front facade of the primary structure. Now that means behind front facade. That doesn't mean behind the building, but behind the front of the building, which would allow parking on the side, which is where the applicant has the significant area for parking. The development area must meet parking requirements of one space per 350 square feet of gross floor area, which is our requirement for a private school. They'll have to adhere to all other commercial requirements as directed by the Code of Ordinances. This has more to do with the internal workings of the building, emergency exits, emergency lighting, and so forth, all have to meet code. And a copy of the conditions of approval must be kept by the business property owner and must notify, if she sells the property, then she must notify anybody that obtains it, they must give a copy of that CUP. So she's got to keep that with her at all times on the property, so she's aware of what those conditions are.
Just below the emergency stuff there, do they have to have sprinklers inside there? Is that...
Those are all complicated factors based on occupancy, number of exits, number of children, whether they're on the first or second floor. Those are all issues that the applicant would work out with the fire marshal through the permitting process.
But those are typically required, what are your requirements?
It's based on the occupant numbers. It's hard to say one thing. Sometimes square footage triggers it, sometimes whether above grade level, below grade level. So in this case, the classroom would have to be grade level and the top would be office.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead, Joseph. Sorry.
Okay, so those are the proposed conditions. Staff did send out notifications to properties within 49 properties within the 400-foot buffer. And you can blame me for this. I did not update that map, but we did receive responses to this. We received, and let's see, there's one in your packet recommending denial with attached comments. And then on the dais, we also received one recommending approval with conditions, and of course the conditions being a privacy fence, which were listed in the conditions aforementioned. I apologize if those did not make it into the map in time for this this
no
meeting.
Problem. That 6 to 8 foot fence, we're looking at simply being wooden.
The wooden privacy fence.
Okay. All right. Commissioners, any questions there about Mr. Mullins? Yes, sir.
Didn't we sometime last year do another plat that was in the same little corner?
Yes, a previous applicant asked to put a small animal hospital on this property.
Was that approved?
No.
That was approved by the Planning and Zoning. It was recommended for approval, but denied by the council.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Commissioners, any other questions for Mr. Mullis?
I guess I'm a little confused because what's in our packet, this plat right here, the survey, only shows the house and not that secondary portion in the back.
Correct.
But it is, both of those pieces are, we're voting on it based on one, correct?
Right. The applicant intends to maintain a residence at that other property.
All right. So we're only doing the front one, the big one.
Got it.
Yes, sir.
You talked about the code or the paragraph 155 stating that there could be a school. Was it the intent at that time that that's mainly for homeschooling? And so if it wasn't, and it was, you could do more than that, how many homeschools do we have in our...
We have several.
We
do have a lot of homeschools. But I would not say... I would not say categorically that was the intent of this ordinance. Basically, for instance, the Killeen Middle School 14 is being placed on an R1 lot because by rights, public schools can be placed in an R1 dwelling district. So it's my assumption that private schools are also allowed through a conditional use permit as a parity to the fact that public schools can be allowed in an R1.
So how many do we have? Schools like that.
How many private schools do we have?
Yeah.
I'm actually not aware of any private schools with a curriculum like that in the city. I mean, I'm sure that there are daycares that have, you know, pre-K and K programs,
sure.
But I don't know of any particular.
No, I don't either.
I mean, places like Tap Tap do courses, you know, for a couple of weeks or a month.
Right. I mean, it's an R1, and then if you start creating parking spaces and so forth, you basically probably would not be able to sell that as a R1 house in the future. I mean, it just changes the whole dynamics of what R1 is. So you're saying no one's going to live in that building, but they're going to live in the other building.
Well, the other building is a rental unit right now, and the applicant's going to allow that to continue use as a rental. And the applicant does have a presentation to provide to you, but I was going to answer any questions of a procedural nature that you might have first before we get into the...
Well, I would bring up security as well. If it's going to be a school like that,
what does the state require for security?
I am not aware of that, but that would be the applicant's responsibility, and I will let her answer that when she comes to the podium.
All right, Commissioners, any other questions for Mr. Mullins?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned on the ingress, egress, you know, you indicated that far west driver that goes back to the other residence, but that's on the other property, so they're going to have to, I don't know whether it's to meet fire code or just our general condition inspection in place on it.
They'll have to meet the fire code. It'll have to be a fire lane.
Entrance and exit. They won't be able to use that far west portion that's on the other property.
I'm not sure.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're basing this on lot one. We're basing this on lot one, block one, which is just
the front house. Right.
Doesn't include the driveway on the far west portion.
It includes the shared portion of the driveway.
But it's not on the lot one, block one, correct?
Right. I think it is on the second lot, but as you can see, there is a, I think that's a passage easement that is what this strip is right here.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes, that's a passage.
Okay.
So that would grant access to both properties.
Okay.
We've had other cases like this in the past where someone tried to make a business out of their house and they were denied, but it was always brought up about traffic and increase in traffic. And that Mountain Lion Road is very busy. And here we're talking early in the morning, there's going to be could be up to 25 vehicles coming in and out of that place, and then in the afternoon the same. Where are they going to park? Are they going to be in that circle? How is this going to work?
I'm going to let the applicant answer the formulaic questions about that, but I will tell you that the applicant is working with the YMCA to be able to use the lot next door for overflow parking. In the code of ordinances, the planning director is allowed to allow off-site parking, and in fact, that's exactly what happened with the YMCA. That parking lot to the north is off-site parking for the YMCA.
Sure.
Technically, Purser Family Park is a public parking lot, and if they needed to, they could use that as overflow parking as well. I'm just encouraging the use of the parking lot adjacent to them to prevent street crossing.
All right, I think we're to the point we need to talk to the applicant, guys. Is there any other commission, or any other questions for Mr. Mullis?
There are other businesses on that street.
There's a tap.
There is a private art school further west.
Okay.
And then, of course, the YMCA.
And the YMCA, right across the street.
Good. All right, thank you, Mr. Mullis. Okay, who is here to represent this request? Hi, ma'am. Please come forward, state your name and your address.
Hello, I'm Elisa Andreas. I'm representing the 111 Mountain Lion Road. I'm happy to answer any specific questions. I understand you have some questions about the front drive and the parking, so I can answer those questions if you'd like.
Please.
Acton Academy has a different mindset when it comes to education. We thrive to push our students to have a little bit more responsibility. The house is mainly going to look much like this. We don't have intentions of adding extra major parking or taking down those trees. My whole concept was to keep the look of a natural home. Acton is based off of one-room schoolhouse. We want to keep that home warm feeling. I'm not trying to take it away from the neighborhood. It's actually one of the reasons why I really love this location. The front drive will be used more as a pickup and drop-off. Parents are not allowed to exit the vehicle. It's part of Acton's main method of entering and exiting. They do not come into the building. The children will come out and meet their parents at a certain time frame, get into the car, and leave. They are not to go into the building at all. Our parents are not
ever there.
Ever? Only by request of the children. They have to actually ask permission from the children to come in and enter their learning space.
They have to ask the children.
Yes, sir. The parents and the children have a contract when they come in. It is a Socratic method way of learning. and the children will come in and make a contract amongst their peers on how they will respect each other and learn together, and how they will interact with their parents. Their parents will come in on special events, which is why we ask the YMCA for any special event parking permission to use their parking lot, where the children will come in and do presentations and answer questions on behalf of their parents to show them what they have learned. So it is a different concept.
Have you operated one of these before?
No, sir.
Have you ever operated a school before?
No, sir. Acton Academy hires, well, they have about 100 schools now open. They have their headquarters in Austin. They have been 10 years strong, and they're expanding in over 14 countries now. They are just expanded in this area. There is one school that will be opening in Toledo, and one just opened this past year in Waco. So they are growing in a different way. So it's a different method of learning, which is why parents are so fond of it. We are bringing the traditional styles of learning of not only base core, but also the things that have been taken out of public school. So teaching a child how to start a business, also any kind of shop matters, building a mosaic, there's robot computing. There's different things that we'll be taking in, and as well as the basic concepts of education.
Do you have an educational background?
I am not. I'm an acupuncturist by trade.
I'm sorry, you're what?
A master of Oriental medicine and acupuncture.
Oh, okay.
So Acton Academy owners are all various different entrepreneurs. We have nurses, we have moms, we have educators, we have business owners. They mainly strive for business owners to open their Acton Academies. It's one of their requirements. The parking that is on the side is for the, I don't know if you want to. So this is the front drive. It does have a two-car capacity to fit, and there is an exit from both sides where it goes to the back and it goes to the front. I had spoke to the fire chief, and we had talked about it being more like a fire lane versus a parking area. We, since the parents aren't going to be staying, we don't have any
issues. Are you going to have to come in one road and go out?
They'll come in one direction and exit the same direction. Okay. Right, so it'll be established with the parents prior to enrollment.
So it's only going to be one way there. That area just shows there's only going to be one way, not two way.
Right. Correct. Okay. Correct. This is the parking that we have. It's about a good 7 small cars or big cars. We also have the parking in the garage as well. If needed, we are happy to expand some parking into the back. This home is being purchased as a whole. So yes, we are looking for the front home to be used for the school purpose, but the two parcels are purchased under the same contract. So we have complete ownership of that whole property. So it does show in two lots, but we have that whole thing.
And you're going to be renting the property out in the back is the plan, and continue renting it out?
Yes, sir. We have a tenant that's there now, and she was requested to stay, so we don't see any reason to kick her out right now.
How many employees will you have?
Anywhere from about 2 to 3. We have one guide per class education, so we have a pre-K and we have an elementary. I will be the admin and doing the background work, so I will be in and out.
Will there be like a cook, a janitor?
No, sir. The maintenance will be done by the children in a cleanup. They will do some of the cleanup at the end of the school day, and then I will have someone come on the off hours during the weekend to come and clean as needed, pretty much on a weekly basis.
What does Acton require for security?
For security, it's much like a daycare or a child school, like the ones that we have here. Some have the locked doors with their restricted access cards. That's what we're kind of trying to look for the front door, so the children will have a card to be able to enter.
And they will use a card to get out?
There will be a release button in the front door. I don't know if you've ever seen.
Well, some places, you know, kids are in there. You don't want the kids getting out. You know,
right.
You know, I don't know what the plan is with that, but I'm not into security or anything. But so 25 kids.
Right now, yes, we're looking at about 25 children.
And what was the ages again on that?
From about 4 to 10.
Okay, so you said right now. What are you looking at for the future?
Our main goal is to just try to have a warm setting. We don't want to overwhelm the facility. I say probably about 36 would be at most, but that's probably not for a while.
And Acton Academy goes, do they go all the way to 12th grade?
It goes to 12th grade, but we understand that this location is not going to accommodate for that. This is our starting point. This is us going. Our elementary school builds further into the middle school and the high school, and those children are used as our foundational basis to carry on the Socratic method. So they help new students that are coming in to kind of learn. So we build with what we can at the beginning, and then we grow as that goes. So I know there's going to be another location for my middle and high school. That's not, that won't happen in this house.
what's your plans for the grounds as far as outside, is playground or?
The backyard right now has a huge deck with covered trees. We're going to use that for the kids to be able to go outside and relax and be able to read and have some free time. We do want to have a small little playground, but nothing too obnoxious, to be perfectly honest. I'm not into the big things. We want to have some room to play as far as like sports outside. We are going to be talking to the YMCA when the executive director gets back to see if we can have some sports activities across the street. I've already talked to the Tap Tap Art School, and they are happy to help us with art classes as well. That seems to be a big request from families, is to make sure we have sports and art classes. Yes, ma'am.
And you have, what are your hours of operation?
That's all right. Right now, the school will be open from 8. They have free time from 8 to 8:30, and then they will have closeout time at 3:15. So they should be gone by about 4:30, unless there's a parent that has to come late for military purposes.
Okay, and the kids, if they're going to the Tap Tap deal, are they going to walk down there?
We haven't completely discussed that.
If that takes place.
Yes, we talked about both if they needed to bring the bus over or if we were going to walk down the sidewalk. Because it is two doors down. It's just the parking lot and then their house is two doors down. Okay. So we wouldn't have to cross the street.
Commissioner Carey, did you ask a question earlier? Oh, I'm sorry.
She may have mentioned it, and I may have missed it. How many teachers are you planning to have on staff?
We have two right now that we're looking at. I don't plan on having any more than that right now. If we have a third, it would probably be part-time only.
Inside there, how many bathrooms do you have in the house?
I always miscount one. We have four, but there's definitely room. We have to do some renovation to open it up a little bit more. So we plan on putting a few extra in there if we need to.
Okay, commissioners, you have any other questions for the applicant? Nope. Thank you very much, ma'am. Please have a seat. Okay, at this time, I'm going to open up the public hearing. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Yes, sir. Please come up. State your name and your address.
My name is Jim Lobley, and I live at 115 Mountain Lion Road. As Joseph mentioned, it meets the criteria or meets the ordinance to allow this. I did a bunch of research because this came up before with the vet clinic, and in the last 5 years, there have been two conditional use permits that have been allowed that were approved by the council, similar type things too, all right? One of those two was the Tap Tap, and the one that was disapproved was the vet clinic. Those two came up on our street, so that's a concern for me. So also concerned, is this the best fit for the property? You know, the city has commercial property out there. Is this the best fit for this school? I wouldn't, well, you don't have time to look at the Acton website. The website is good, and it really explains this educational concept, and it does look good. Now, going to the ordinances, you know, the purpose of the ordinances is to protect the homeowners. That's why they're all broken out like this. In the case of the applicant, they're getting a benefit. They don't have to buy commercial property and build, so they get an economic benefit by acquiring this property, and if it's approved, they get a benefit. Compared to us property owners, where our value probably goes down. I'm not an appraiser, I don't know, but, you know, so one goes up, the other goes down. And that's not what we're trying to do to protect with these codes. I mean, we're trying to protect our residents. One of the things that was mentioned is that little house back there in the back. I think the city really needs to take a look at that and what was the original intent when that was built. I think it was for a relative or something like that and was not to be rented out, so I might want to follow up on that. I'd like to address the traffic. You really can't get out of our driveway between 7:45 and 8 a.m. So if this was approved, I would recommend the school day start later. It is just untenable. Also, if people have to cross across the street at the Y for any reason, that crossing is very dangerous. I work out at the Y at least two or three times a week. And you literally cannot step out on that crosswalk and expect people to stop. There's no signage. There's just the little sign. There's no sign, this is a state law. People will not stop. Some will, but you're really taking a chance there. So my concern is the kids.
Well, I guess you're running there. You're running more avoiding the car.
I tell you what, I had an incident just this last week that if I'd have stepped down, I wouldn't be up there. I wouldn't be up here today. Another concern, does the city have adequate staff to monitor any of the conditions that are brought on? I brought up a vehicle that was parked on the street at Tap Tap, and it took 6 months for that vehicle to be removed off the street. So I have a concern there. You got to monitor it. Do you have the staff? Also concerned about school vehicles, you know, will there be signage on them? You know, I think they've indicated they'll be parked in the back, so that's good. Wondering about interior modifications. You know, substantial interior modifications, is the house really going to be sellable as a residence on down the road? So then you've got a continuation of some sort of business there that would have to be approved and come up before y'all. And also my concern, will there be any additions to the existing buildings added on to the back or whatever? And that will be addressed in the conditions. I think that's got it. So
you did a good
thank
job.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, y'all have any questions? Mr. Mobley?
I just have a question. What did the YMCA and the Tap Tap do to your property value?
Have any idea.
Your taxes didn't go down, did they?
No, sir. Yeah, that's what we ought to look for if this keeps happening. Okay, the Y originally was 30,000 square feet, and it went up to 55, and I had a problem with that, so I spoke about that. But I love it. It's a great facility. Tap-Tap, you know, I was outside the 400 feet, so I didn't get to speak up. You know, it was a done deal before I found out about it. My problem was violating the conditions on signage that went on there that was not corrected timely as far as I was concerned. And multiple painted vehicles, not one, but multiple painted vehicles.
The one tonight, not the tap-tap.
I know, but she's asking, but that affects your value when people see that and, you know, drive by.
And that's why I asked if you knew what it did to your property.
We don't know. You'd have to have an appraisal. You don't know. I don't know.
So we wouldn't know if this proposed would have any effect or not?
I would think it would. You've got one, and now you have a possibility of a second one, and it's only two or three that have been done in the city in the last 5 years. Very well, I would think it would. So, appreciate your consideration.
Okay, is there anyone else who would like to speak and reference this agenda item?
Yes.
Okay. Please state your name and your address.
Good afternoon. My name is Mike Stegmeyer. I live at 715 Black Hills Trail, Harker Heights. And I guess my question is, I missed some of the stuff about the safety of the children at this particular school. I don't know if there's an ordinance or the fire marshal has an ordinance for so many children for a square footage of the building, proper emergency exits, stuff that we care about our children.
There should be a mandate from the state of Texas as far as how many kids, square footage-wise, bathrooms. And from there, you would get into a multitude of things, from the sprinklers being required, self-latching doors, keyed doors, alarms, access to the exterior, things like that. If this passes now, and then it goes to council, they have a long way before they can get that thing by the guidelines of the state of Texas.
Okay, thank you very much. I missed that. I just want to make sure that... Yeah. We are paying attention to the safety of the children.
I'm sharper than I look.
Thank you for your help.
Thank you, sir.
Patience.
Okay, is there anyone else out there who would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Frenchie, come on up. You can state your name and your address. I remember you.
My name is Jean Harmon, and I live in 113 Mountain Line. My main concern with you all is the traffic. The other day, again, many times, but just 2-3 days ago, I was coming down from Killeen, went in a Miller lane to turn in my driveway. A lady wanted the driveway from the YMCA is just almost across. So she was in the center lane, I was in the center lane to move in my driveway. And then she go, "What are you doing, lady?" And I said, "Well, I want to turn in my driveway." So that was for a little while. She didn't want to move. I didn't want to move. Traffic was coming. We were blocked. My main concern for you is to watch the traffic on this road. About 5 o'clock in the evening, there is a line from Modoc to the end of the park. They're waiting. It's the traffic. I mean, we have a problem with the traffic. And school, we have many schools already around us in a 1 mile distance, I would say mile and a half. We have 4. Now, again, for the property, I did request, you know, the privacy fence. I just want to make sure it's understanding that is from the house to the back field, not just, I know there is another house in the back. I want, if the property is in one wall thing to be sold, then the fence should be complete till the end.
I see what you're saying there. I don't know if we can require, well, we can require many things, but the school location is our main thing. It's where that's the house, that location right there. Going beyond that with the house in the back, even though it is one owner, one property, I don't know. Joseph, was that the plan that fence would have to go the entire distance, blocking off the rear?
We have to confirm that with the applicant. However, code of ordinances does allow the planning and zoning commission in zoning cases to increase screening as they see fit.
Okay, very good. We'll look into that.
Yes, I really insist on the privacy fence from their house to the backfield, because this is my property. I had a fence once which was used by the ex-owner for 30 years, but we had to tear it down. and so now it's vacant, so it's open. So that's the problem that I really do bring to the council, you know, for that to be carried on.
Yes, ma'am.
And just think about the traffic, because it's hard to come.
We're definitely thinking about everything.
Yes.
And you should have your husband get you a bigger vehicle, so when you meet the other vehicle.
I know, and nobody wanted to. Well, we could move because some traffic was coming on this side. Something. So we were caught, and then she was kind of insulting me. I was in her way, but we were both in each other's way, I guess. I thank you so much.
Thank you, young lady. Please have a seat. Okay, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in reference to the agenda item? Is there anyone else who would like to speak in reference to the agenda item? Now, I'm closing the... She's the applicant. The rebuttal comes after.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so at this point, you do have a chance for rebuttal, ma'am, if you want to come up. I close out the public hearing. Oh, no, not you, ma'am. I'm sorry.
I did want to answer some concerns that I heard, which is totally understandable. I do have intentions of putting the privacy fence complete. I just think that's respectable. Like, again, my children, I'm not doing this as just a business venture. My children are ages 4 and 6, and they will be attending the school. So safety is a big concern for me, and I've made that clear with the chief that my children are going to be in there. I want it to be safe. I want to make sure that we're not bringing any kind of strain to it. So I just wanted to put into effect that my kids will be attending the school. So as far as appraisal value, we are purchasing this home if everything goes well. The appraisal did come back quite high, so there is a benefit to what this home is valued at current condition. It needs a lot of love and tender care inside, and we plan on putting that in. So that will probably only increase the value of the property.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, ma'am. Please have a seat. Okay, commissioners. Back y'all. I need a motion at this time. All right. I have a motion from Commissioner Webster.
I make a motion to recommend disapproval of an ordinance granting a conditional use permit to allow a private school on property described as Lot 1, Block 1, Jalen Addition, an addition to the city of Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, according to the plat of record in Cabinet D, Slide 101A, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and an adjacent 0.551-acre tract of land in Bell County, Texas, being part of the R.W. Tom Survey, abstract number 838. Both tracks being generally located at 111 Mountain Lion Road, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Okay, we have a motion right now for denial of this. Do we have a second? All right, a second. Commissioner Anderson, seconds. Okay, so we have a motion for denial. We have a second for that. Commissioners, any discussion?
Just had a question about a statement that was made that there had only been three CUPs in the city, issued in the city?
He said, well, he meant by his three. Three had actually, they had requested three there, right by him, the veterinary place, the Tap Tap, and the Harker Heights. He did allude to being, I can't bring you back into the clinics. He did allude to there being only so many CUPs going through, and that more than that has to occur. But that's not, doesn't have anything to do with this. So the main things here is the traffic. We hear traffic. We have that area over there, you know, it is nice, but I drive through there a lot. I have employees that drive through there. I'm like, where are you at? We're stuck by the school. We're stuck by here. You know, nothing. They're talking and driving or texting.
No.
But anyways, the traffic there does back up quite a bit. Getting in and out of the driveways over there. Now, if you're driving forward, that's great, but there are some instances where people drive back out of there. The YMCA's done great. Person Park has done great. It's fantastic there. I think that this...
Is that intersection down there by the YMCA? That's just a stop sign, right?
There's no stop sign at all. It's a Is it Forest Hill?
Yeah.
Modoc, but that's right, not at the actual.
Right past the line.
Yeah, it's past it, yeah.
But that's what's back there.
I think my biggest concern is that you have 25 cars trying to drop off. Up into Mount Line, which then causes a move.
Yeah, even if you cut it in half.
I think with this property too is that little house in the back that keeps going from Blue Beach not coming.
So that's a weird deal there that I think crept in on us.
But this it's obvious that this property's gonna come up again for another business. And one day, it's probably gonna turn into a business.
Well, it may or may not, but we got a deal right now. I don't think that this is.
But is it not a business already if it's got a rental in the back? And which shouldn't be happening, unless it had a CUP in the past.
Those are two parcels, zoned R1. There is one house on each parcel.
Okay, back to this guy's discussion-wise here. We've got a vote going right now. A motion, a second. Do you have anything else? I know we put this through last time, or most of us did, but this is not the same thing as last time. I don't think it's the right fit. So, any other discussion? Okay, let's vote. All in favor, please signify, raise your hands.
All in favor of?
Denial. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 3. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, you need to call for a motion for denial because there could be an abstention.
Okay, all right. This is a motion. This, what we just voted on right now is a motion to deny this. So, I got the
same. You call for in favor, and you have to call for opposed.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so all opposed, please raise your hands.
I'm trying to understand.
All against what we just, the six, we have six for it?
Yeah, the motion was for denial.
The motion was for denial, and there were six in approval of that motion. Now we need to know who's opposed, because there could be abstentions. You can't assume that the three.
Okay, so at this time I need to the remaining three to raise their hands as far as or abstain. Are they against the denial, the motion for denial? Okay, so we have three there that are against it. So that fails. 6-3. Okay. All right. Next item is the citizens to be heard. Are there any citizens who would like to be heard? Nope. City council would like to be heard. Mayor would like to be heard.
Sure.
All right. Next item, reports of P&Z commissioners and alternates. Are there any commissioners or alternates who would like to speak at this time? Hearing nothing further, we adjourn the meeting here at 8:15 p.m. Thank you all very much. Thank you all for coming out tonight, folks.
Thank you.